Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for tuning in and listening and all that good fun stuff. Let me see if I got any response. It doesn't look like it. Nope. No response, but that's okay. I was just checking. I was trying to get my previous guest didn't make it. Oh, wait, he did respond. All right, hang on. Oh my goodness. Okay. You know what? Do you mind if we bring Frank Gaffney on to talk about China?
No. No.
All right. Well, hang on then. I mean,
that's a no, I don't mind. That's not a no, not.
Right. Right. No. I got you. I got you. All right.
Frank
hang on.
Gaffney is an amazing man.
He is. He really is.
I think you and I might learn something, and our audience will learn a tremendous amount. How much money is China? Are the Bidens making from China now? Does anybody know? Did they find out when they found out who brought in the cocaine?
A lot, a whole lot. Let's do it.
I think they're his biggest customer.
He's a customer now?
Well, China would be a customer of the Bidens. They're running their business.
Yep.
I think they're in first place now ahead of Ukraine, certainly ahead of Romania. We have a two-tiered justice system.
At least.
You think it's three?
I think it's probably close to three because there's that. Well, yeah, because so there's justice for their guys. There's justice for the rest of us. That's really kind of hit and miss. And then there's the justice that they dole out to the people that they determine are their enemies.
You mean the grannies who went to Washington D.C. on January 6th?
The ones where they you know grabbed all the cell phone information and then the head of the FBI can't remember that.
When you have all kinds of cameras, you have all kinds of high technology, and we're just not going to look for our cocaine planter, but we're going to find the 85-year-old granny who happened to walk on the lawn on January 6th. It's really, really a sad day in America. And lie about it and sit there and lie to Congress. If Congress had taken any action like it should have against Clapper and Brennan and said, no, you can't come in here and lie to us, you will be tried for that, then I don't think we would have the same situation going on today. But Congress just said, no, we're going to play along with this game. They failed us, my friends. Congress has failed us.
100%.
I'm trying to fill some time for you.
You're doing great. I appreciate it. I'm hoping that he's going to be able to jump in here and join us.
Okay. Will China attack Taiwan, or how are they going to take it? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, there's some things about China, and perhaps, you know, we'll talk. I mean, when Frank joins us, there's some things about China that a lot of people don't understand. That are creating a very precarious perch for Xi. And that is the economy over there is is horrific.
How bad is it? I mean, what? How do you? How? Who has any accurate numbers on it?
Well, I'm aware of some people that are risking life and limb to get a little bit of information out.
Okay.
And what they're able to share basically is that they don't have, you know, I mean, they're buying more than they're selling. They have a lot of empty buildings. They have a lot of empty cities. I mean, they've created entire cities and built them and have all these fancy buildings in them. But the buildings are empty, Don. There's no people.
Looking like San Francisco.
They're not. Well, okay, so they don't. It's not that they have a homeless problem.
No. I mean the building, the commercial.
But they, well, the commercial and the apartments, they've got all kinds of apartments with nobody living there.
Yeah,
and that's because the economy, cheese economy, has begun to implode on him, and part of that is you know he had an economic engine in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And they went in there and they literally destroyed. They destroyed their engine. Yeah. I see the man, the myth, and the legend.
Yeah. Mostly the AWOL man and the misplaced myth and the legend is in my own mind, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, sir.
I'm so sorry. No. Pastor Greg, it just was a hash up on my end, but if we can do it now,
we're good. No, we're on. We're doing it. We are rocking it out, and I am absolutely thrilled to have Frank Gaffney. He is the founder of the Center for Security Policy. He is a national security treasure. He is someone that I am honored to be working with as a member of the advisory board for Save the Persecuted Christians. He is leading the charge when it comes to the committee to reveal the present danger of China. He has written this scathing book identifying and indicting the CCP. And when we talk about China, and I know Frank joins me in this, we're not talking about the Chinese people. We're talking about specifically the CCP. And I welcome Frank Gaffney to the program. Frank, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's a delight to be with you, Pastor Greg, and thank you for bearing with me on a false start here, but we're good to go.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, so, Don, ask Frank the question that you had just asked me. I'd love for you to present that. I mean, this is Don Jans. Don's co-hosting with me during this segment.
The question on the economy?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, you made a statement. You said it's not the Chinese people.
Yes.
It's the Chinese government. I would like to say that that is true in all situations, whether we're speaking of the Russians, whether we're speaking of anybody else. It's not the people. It is always the government. And I think we Americans fail to realize that the Chinese people do not hate us. The Russian people do not hate us. In fact, many of them admire us. And we have to remember that we're all just people trying to get along, and it's government that brings up all of these problems. Speaking of that, how bad is the Chinese economy right now? You hear all the numbers. I mean, I hear they're doing 6-7% GNP. And then I hear that they're really suffering, and of course Pastor Greg was talking about all the empty buildings, how the economy is not working in China right now. What is the fact?
Well, if I might just speak to the first point you made, I want to associate myself with your thoughts on this as well as Pastor Greg's. Wherever you have totalitarian misrule, I think it is important to understand that the sentiments of the public that is being misruled not only generally don't align with those of the people misruling them, but they want what we want, which is freedom from that tyranny. And I think that's true in spades for the Chinese Communist Party and its people. In this book, The Indictment, that Pastor Greg just kindly mentioned, we start with the first of nine different charges. We believe that this transnational criminal organization, it's really not a political party or government so much as a TCO, as it's called, has inflicted upon its own people, 100 million of whom, probably conservatively, they have killed. And that, by the way, does not include any of the 400 million that they boast of having murdered in the womb. So the Chinese people have at least as much reason to detest the regime that has brutalized them in this unprecedentedly horrific way as we do for the danger and worse that I fear it has in mind for us. To your second point, I think that what makes so ominous the present moment is that in addition to the eight different charges that we enumerate in the indictment, in terms of the kind of warfare the Chinese Communist Party, we call it war crimes, because if it is a transnational criminal organization and it has been engaging in what it has self-described as unrestricted warfare against us, using all kinds of techniques, economic warfare, political subversion, sabotage, you know, taking down our energy sector, biological attack, and so on, then those war crimes have created a basis for prosecuting these people, as we call it in the court of public opinion, at a minimum. But worse, it seems that the Chinese Communist Party is, I believe, in part because of these vexing problems for the regime internally to China, as well as its longstanding external ambitions, prepared to go to the next level, namely a shooting war, not just against Taiwan, but against us as well. So how serious are those internal problems that are creating this kind of pressure? Well, evidently very serious. And some of them have to do with, the demographic problem that I just alluded to. They have, by some estimates, 40 million men for whom there are no women. Because the bulk of those 400 million, some say it may be as high as 500 million now that they've killed in the womb, were baby girls. And consequently, this is creating tremendous social pressure. And I think a further tendency on the part of the regime to think about getting rid of those guys as kind of cannon fodder in some sort of military exercise. But in addition, there's a banking crisis. There's a real estate bubble that has burst. There are the accumulated deep resentments of the whole COVID lockdown exercise, which we saw in sort of a small way, but it terrified the regime with that white paper demonstration exercise. So there's a lot of very real reason to believe that the Chinese Communist Party thinks it must control that domestic population with all of that restiveness by creating a foreign boogeyman with whom they must go to war, namely us.
I know Nansu and I talked about there were close to 7 million cell phones that went dark coming out of Wuhan that, of course, they tried to prevent the rest of China from hearing about. But in light of the lockdown you just talked about, it would seem that that information has begun to seep out into the conscience of many in China. Is that another part of the concern that Xi Jinping has to have as he manages what what they are trying to accomplish outside of China?
Well, I think there's a lot of internal communications that the regime tries to suppress and probably can't entirely successfully. So, yes, I think that people throughout the country now have a sense not only of, you know, the personal hardship that they've all experienced, of course, with these lockdowns and mandates of various kinds, maxes, vaccines, and so on, but also that the regime itself was responsible for the intentional, or more likely unintentional, I think, initiation of all of this nightmare by manufacturing this virus in a biological warfare laboratory. But how much they know and how much they hold the government responsible for that, I'm a little unsure of, but I'm pretty certain that, as I said, when those people went to the streets by the millions and held up blank pieces of paper as a sort of silent demonstration of their resentment of the censorship, as well as all the other privations, it so terrified the regime that within a matter of days, Xi Jinping abandoned his whole zero COVID
lockdown policy. Well, they don't want another Tiananmen Square. I mean, they're scared to death of the possibility of another Tiananmen Square taking place, and they were on the brink of seeing that exact thing happen.
Well, on steroids. I mean, you had, as I say, millions of people. There were 10,000, I think, and so in Tiananmen Square, most of whom were murdered, by the way.
Yeah.
This was a whole different kettle of fish. And the other thing about it, Pastor Greg, is that they were mindful, clearly, that there are an awful lot more people in China who are not party members than there are party members. I think the best number we have, I think, is 90 million party members, and there's 1 point some billion non-members.
Right.
And that is a problem that if they cannot terrify them or use this social credit system to control them, could very easily result in the overthrow of this regime. And they're very, very alarmed about that prospect.
How serious is Xi Jinping? Is he in serious position at all, or is he very secure in his total control?
Well, I think it depends on what piece of this you're looking at. Okay. He has absolute control of the party at this point. Right. That's unquestionable. I think through this social credit system, and I'm sure your audience is very familiar with what that entails in terms of surveilling and monitoring and exercising control of this entire population in a real-time basis. I mean, all one point, whatever the number of billions are, that gives him an incredible degree of control, I think. But on the other hand, as those demonstrations evidenced, this can get away from them. And I think that the absolute control, you know, I'm fond of making the observation, I don't know if you remember this as I do, but back in, as I recall, the 1980s, Nicolae Ceaușescu was the president for life of Romania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he and his wife ruled with iron fists in the most, egregious way.
Yeah.
He went from being the president for life to a corpse when his security detail turned on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they killed them both. This could happen in Chinese communist circles where control is absolute. Is it likely? At the moment, it doesn't seem so. But I think we should be doing everything we can to both delegitimize the Chinese Communist Party and encourage the people of China to do what I think they aspire to do, which is to rise up against it.
So let's shift that over to the book, because that really is the impetus of the book, the indictment prosecuting the CCP and friends for crimes against the U.S., China, and the world. What are the major things that people need to understand about these indictments, Frank?
Thank you. The most important of them is the following. The Chinese Communist Party is at war with America. Not because we want it to be, not because we've gone to war with them, but because their purpose animating this party from the get-go is global domination. And we are the only real impediment to the realization of that goal. So back in the immediate aftermath of the demise of the Soviet Communist Party, a Soviet regime, Soviet Union, thanks to my old boss, Ronald Reagan, and his strategy for achieving exactly that outcome. Deng Xiaoping, Xi Jinping's predecessor, announced to his own party elite, the Cold War between the United States and Russia, the Soviet Union, is over. The Soviets lost. A new Cold War has begun between the United States and China will win. And they set in train, I think, shortly thereafter, but it became publicly acknowledged in 1999 that in the absence of having the means of using military force against a country as powerful as the United States, they would use every other imaginable technique. And this is where it gave rise to the term unrestricted warfare, for the purpose of weakening, for sure, and if possible, defeating without firing a shot, the United States. And they have relentlessly pursued that all this time. And as I say, we have 8 specific charges that talk about those as war crimes against our country that this transnational criminal organization needs to be held accountable for. So I would say, second to the general proposition that we are at war and we need to begin behaving that way, is this criminal case against the people who have been waging it against us. And then finally, the book is about 20 specific action items that we need to take in response to this very present danger against us.
One of the things Don was talking about as we were, you know, waiting for you to come on and hoping you would be able to join us, and we're going to run out of time here, so, but I want to get this in, is the relationship between the Biden crime family and China, and how deeply embedded you believe that is. And so that's the question. How much money is the Biden family getting to basically sell out America?
May I add to that?
Yeah.
Sure. Will you go beyond the Biden crime family, and will you go into others like the Pelosi's, et cetera?
Sure. Well, the point I was going to make in response initially is,
sure,
of the unrestricted warfare techniques the Chinese Communist Party has used against us, I think by far the most effective, the most devastating, has been what they call elite capture. The Biden crime family, as you call it, is arguably exhibit A of what that looks like.
Yeah.
How much money they've made, I have honestly no idea. I'm sure it's north of the 31 million or so that we've been told about so far. But how much more, I just can't say. Just as a point of calibration.
Sure.
Hunter Biden got $1.5 billion to invest on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah. What does that look like in terms of commissions? I have no idea, but I suspect it's a lot of money. But to your point, Don, it's not just the Biden family. It's not just the Pelosi family. It's not just the McConnell family.
Right.
It's not just the McCarthy family that, unfortunately, I think have been captured.
Which McCarthy?
The Kevin McCarthy family.
Thank you.
I'm afraid that in our political life, this is a phenomenon that is very, very well established and far advanced. In fact, I'm sure you know my colleague and friend Trevor Loudon, a member of our committee on the present danger of China. I was late for our conversation, in part because I was interviewing Trevor for a very hour-long special conversation for our show, Securing America.
Which I encourage Trevor, folks to please watch.
Please, amen. Trevor Loudon has done two sets of books just in the past year or so, as you know.
Yeah.
One identifying what he calls security risk senators, a two-volume set, because there are 33 members of the current United States Senate that he believes are compromised by the Chinese Communist Party, domestic Marxist organizations, or other bad actors. He has, in addition, and I guess it's still rolling out, a six-volume set entitled House Un-Americans.
Yeah.
I love that title. In which he talks about 125 members of the current House of Representatives who are similarly, and the term is compromised. I don't think that does justice to it.
Capture.
Yeah. It's more accurate.
Well,
but that's just a subset of the larger problem. I'm sure we're running out of time. Let me just say quickly.
Yes, please.
In every other sector of our society, whether it's sports figures, whether it's the media, whether it's
Elon Musk, accepted,
whether it's business leaders of various kinds, most especially people on Wall Street, but also, yes, in the technology space like Musk, worst perhaps of all is the BlackRock's in the Wall Street sector and the Sequoia Capital in the technology sector, the so-called mutual, venture capitalists.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, we have academia. Yeah. We have Hollywood. All of these are elites that have been captured, and the effect of it has been most especially to deny the American people both the leadership we need in light of these dangers, and even information about the nature and the extent and the possible vast increase in that danger, because all of these people have a vested interest in pretending it's not so.
The Confucius Institutes, as an example, that are on nearly every university campus. And I'll just close with this, you know, and I mentioned this in the half hour that unfortunately we weren't able to connect on, but I'm so glad. Thank you.
So sorry.
Let's do this again because there's a lot more for us to cover. But I talked about, I am permanently banned, can't even plead for, a reconsideration with Twitter for writing that Eric Swalwell is a Chinese spy whore. And all of the evidence says that it is. And Reuters, who is not necessarily a friend of ours per se, came out with an article on a 3-year investigation in which they determined that the CCP has an NSA software program that they're using to spy on us. An NSA software program that they're using to spy on us. The only place they get that is from the House Intelligence Committee. And who is it that introduced all those prostitutes to all those guys? Swalwell, maybe? Frank, thank you for this incredibly powerful book. It's so critically important, and I know that you're pressing all of the international buttons that you can, as well as our own senators and congressmen that will listen to take this. And there are these action steps. Pick up this book, The Indictment, Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. It is available. It's available today. Author Frank Gaffney and our dear friend Dee Dee Loggison also. And thank you for all the hard work that you're doing to secure America. Real quick, last point. Where can folks listen to Securing America? What time and where do they catch that?
It's broadcast on Real America's Voice. It's not so accessible on weekdays. It's at 5 a.m., on the weekends, it's at a better time block, and both Saturday and Sunday. It's every day, though. You can most easily find it, I think, at our website, securingamerica.tv. And I would encourage you to go there. It's got the radio feature as well as commentaries and other material, and sort of one-stop shopping.
SecuringAmerica.tv. Frank Gaffney. Frank, thanks so very much for being with us today. I truly appreciate it. Absolutely.
God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. Don, God bless you. Thank you very much for co-hosting with me. Yeah, been a blessing. All right, we got to take our break. Ed Stoll is in the wings waiting for us, for me, and I've let him know, but I'm going to get Ed on coming up next. You're watching and listening to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, and you'll be able to pick up the video of this as well as the audio. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and I'm very, very appreciative of my next guest. We We ran a little over on the last segment, but as you know, we had some scheduling mix up with our friend Frank Gaffney from Center for Security Policy, and I really wanted you to hear what they're doing and what he's done relative to writing this book about the indictments against the Chinese Communist Party. And obviously, we know the Chinese Communist Party has their hand in virtually everything that's happening right here in our country, not just over there. What's happening right here, including, you know, the things we're about to talk about, which is the perversion of our youth, the efforts to try to control what our kids think. I'm 61 years old, so I'm kind of an old guy, but when I grew up, man, communism was evil. I mean, you didn't even have to talk about it. You didn't even have an argument about it. The communists are bad guys, okay? Period. If you that was it. They're bad guys. They're godless bad guys. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, hey, it's cool to be a Marxist. It's cool to be. I don't get it. Edward Toll, Stop Youth Fraud. I mean, that is youth fraud. The greatest fraud against our youth, right, is to tell them that being anti-God is a good thing.
Amen, brother. Amen. So I work as a fraud examiner and a certified financial crimes investigator. But okay. By night, my hobby is to speak at conferences to youth and on the radio to stop the fraud that's been perpetuated toward them. I mean, the spiritual fraud to me is no different in the way it's done than the financial fraud. And I think we need to really gear into that. We speak at conferences all over the United States, and even in Brazil, we get to speak at a conference. And interestingly, we never charge any fees. We do this because God's called us to do it. And our mission is to combat how our youth are being spiritually defrauded by a radical secular culture. And boy, is it radical.
Where do you see it beginning? Where does it start for the young people today?
It's an elementary school. I mean, that's the biggest issue. I mean, what's happening in elementary school? Because these kids, their brain is really being indoctrinated in a way that whereas high schoolers and middle schoolers may have some ways to counterbalance that. But well, let's talk about some examples. Let's talk about in October of 2021. A Broward County school board official, we all know that our school boards have a lot of problems. She decided to take the elementary students on a field trip. Now, I don't know, but where did you go on field trips when you were in elementary school?
Oh, we went to museums. Let's see. You know, we went and saw, I lived in the Bay Area. So we went and experienced different cultural events, some of the things like that. We might have gone down to, into one of the caves like Mercer Cave, you know, something along that line. Those were my field trips.
Yeah, I went to the, I live in the D.C. area, so we went to the Natural Museum of History and the Smithsonian Museums. Well, this school board official decided to take the elementary school kids to a gay bar for a field trip. And apparently, the parents were not in the know because many of the parents were upset about it after the fact. So a lot of times you would think the school would say, we apologize, blah, blah, blah. In this case, it doubled down. The school board member said, I was so honored to be invited to chaperone the field trip to the incredible Rosies, and the parents that pushed back, well, we're doing the right thing. This is amazing. I mean, it just speaks volumes for what's happening in our culture. Of all places to take elementary school kids on a field trip, I mean, that is just ridiculous.
It to me, honestly, it's beyond ridiculous, Ed. I mean, it is beyond ridiculous that you would do it. You know, a number of years ago, I've been doing this program now for almost 12 years. And there were three things that God gave me to address: secular humanism, the LGBTQ agenda, and Islam. Nothing controversial, but 12 years ago, I was trying to get people to understand that this is being introduced at the first grade, kindergarten, preschool level, And one of the examples that I gave was I was on the school site council in Modesto, California, at an elementary school. And my daughter was in first grade. One of my kids was in first grade. And one of their first grade readers was a book called And Tango Makes Three. It was the story of two male penguins adopting a little penguin to create a family. Who puts that kind of garbage in a first grade reader program?
It's really, really calculated. And I just want to say that, you know, I know I don't expect non-Christians to live the way Christians live, but I do expect non-Christians to respect our religious freedom and the way we raise our children. And that's really the issue. The issue is, they need to respect the way that we raise our children. And that's not happening at all. It's really about the kids. I don't care what adults do. If adults want to do certain things and to their bodies or things like that, that's one thing. But kids, indoctrinating kids to make sure they think a certain way, I mean, that's ridiculous. And how I got started on this mission, so my son, who is now 15 and who speaks in my ministry all the time, in fact, this past weekend, he spoke at a family camp, and he was answering hard questions about the faith from a bunch of adults, like, can Christians lose their salvation? Does the Bible support slavery? He's really an interesting dude at 15. But when he was 5 years old, he came home from kindergarten, and it was the day that the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage. So he came home, and they discussed it in class, and I didn't appreciate the way that it was discussed in class. Then I talked to him about it. I talked to the teacher. And then about a month later, he came to me and he said he didn't believe the Bible was true. And then I had to work with him a lot about that. Thank God that he's walking strong in Christ today and training kids. But, I mean, I had to work against the indoctrination that was happening to him.
Well, and that's the part that I think is starting to wake parents up, is the fact that you've got these schools that are, in fact, indoctrinating. There's no other way to view this.
Right.
And, 12 years ago, when I was trying to get people to understand that this was the goal, this is what they're doing, this is what they're up to, everybody was like, oh, Pastor, you're nuts, you're crazy, we don't want to hear about this, find another topic. And I was like, you don't understand. I spent 18 years in California fighting this. Before we moved to Texas. So, I had watched what they were doing in California when they thought, nobody was looking. And it started at this, very, very young age. I remember one example, too, that was in Florida, Broward County again, was a little girl who was sitting in the lunchroom who bowed her head to pray. And the lunch monitor felt it necessary to run over to her table and question this little girl on what are you doing? Who are you talking to? There's no such thing as God.
This stuff is happening all over the place. In the middle school class that I used to teach, I teach a children's class now at my church, but in the middle school class that I used to teach, things like that happened all the time, particularly to the girls in my group. I remember one girl in my group, she was in seventh grade at the time, and she would take the school bus to school. And one of the teachers that also rode the school bus told her that she couldn't bring her Bible on the school bus anymore. The kids in my middle school class would talk about the Bible on the bus based on what we talked about, because we talked about a lot of deep theology. And so she came to me. I said, did you talk to your parents? She said, yes. She said, my parents don't really want to make any waves. I said, well, try this. The next time your teacher says something to you to put away the Bible or you can't bring it, you tell her that you're just reading the best-selling, most published book of all time, 6 billion copies worldwide, compared to Harry Potter at 107 million, Harry Potter Volume 1. The teacher never bothered her again. So sometimes you have to use a little bit of sarcasm and wisdom in these situations.
I love that. No, that's fantastic. One of the things that I also have tried to argue is that these are fundamental, foundational principles. And people, they're just social. You're just talking about social issues. You mentioned that you work in the arena of of fraud and fraud investigation. Yes. How significantly important is the issue of morality in your line of work?
Well, that's what it's all about, right? It's all about character and morality. If somebody has high moral standards, then they're less likely to commit fraud. If they don't, then they're more likely to commit fraud. In our culture, it's funny that our culture likes to say there's no God, but yet likes to define morality. And the interesting thing about this is people will say, well, don't legislate morality. You can't legislate morality. Well, but that's really the only thing you can legislate. All laws relate to good or bad behavior, good things to society, bad things to society. So the only thing we really can legislate is morality. The question is it my morality or is it your morality or is it Jesus Christ's morality? And that's really what it's all about.
You know, and I just something that you had mentioned about, you know, I'm not caring what adults do. And I agree. I mean, look, you know, people are going to sin. We're born with a sin nature. I get that. My issue is, like as an example, you talked about your son and where this kind of triggered was the Obergefell decision. And I said this to people, when you legalize immorality, indecency, deviant behavior, when you legalize it, now you've made it the law, you're going to have to teach it to the kids.
Right.
It doesn't stay in the bedroom. It doesn't stay wherever it needs to be, where adults are just making personal decisions about the kind of lifestyle that they're going to live. No, now it's taught in the schools. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. When I made that statement about not caring what adults did, I didn't mean...
Oh, no. I know. I wasn't picking on you. No. I wasn't. No. I wasn't. Please understand. You don't need to defend yourself. I wasn't. But it's a commonality, right? I mean, it's a common thing. It's like, because we believe that. Look, I've said, my Christian morality is what protects your right to make sin decisions. Okay,
that's true.
I'm not going to kill you for making a sin decision. In Islam, they will.
That's true.
Okay, I'm not going to kill you for making a sin decision. All I'm saying is quit trying to tell my kids that your sin is the way that everybody should live.
And yes, absolutely. And what Christian, the secular culture, they have to understand that, you know, we follow the individual that made all truth, Jesus Christ. In Colossians, it says that he created all things, all invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. And since Jesus created all things, that means every fact, every truth is a fact or truth because he made it so. And everything that is not truth or that is false against him, that's the way it is. And as Christians, that is our only option. Either Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or he's Lord of nothing. And for me, he's Lord of all. And
amen.
I have to teach that to my kids. But you talked about California. I got to mention one other
please.
Case that happened in California, because this one grates against me every time I read it. So a first grader, 7 years old in California, his mother would send Bible verses to school with him and put him at his lunch just to encourage him. His name is Caleb Zavala. By the way, if some of your listeners are thinking these cases are sound hard to believe, please Google them.
They're look not, them up.
You just don't hear about them.
Yep, look them up.
So anyway, his mother would put these verses, Bible verses, in his school lunches, his lunchbox, lunch bag every day. Man, the Word of God is powerful. So what started to happen is all the kids in class wanted to say, what Bible verse did your mom send today? And then that conversation would spill out to the playground, and the kids were getting excited about it. Well, one of the teachers found out about this and said, you can't do that. To make matters worse, that evening, a Los Angeles County deputy sheriff showed up at this 7-year-old's house to tell him that what he was doing was wrong. I mean, this is just absurd. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid in elementary school, I really cared what teachers thought about me and what I respected police officers. And if they told me I was doing something wrong, it really would have made an impact on me. And I certainly thank God Caleb Zavala, his mom kept him strong in the faith. But my goodness, come on, this is just crazy.
Well, to have him show up to try to intimidate a 7-year-old child by sending a police officer to their home, not to talk to the parent, But to talk to the 7-year-old child, you know, again, when I talk to people about what's happening with our government, I don't say, look, I'm anti-government. I'm anti-tyrant.
Right.
Okay? And I am against the behavior. I'm against despotism and despots. And what we have and what we're watching and what you're fighting against is despotism.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. 100%. That's it. And you know, you mentioned, you know, about Jesus. He says, I am John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life.
Right.
Period. Deal with that. This is where our founders, and I talk about this in my program, Edward, where our founders went against John Locke. John Locke said, look, you have two hands. You have man's hand and God's hand, and they're handing you either life, liberty. Our founders said, no, throw the hand idea out, because God endowed us. Endowed. That means when he created us in the strands of who we are, he put life. In the strands of who we are, he put liberty and freedom. In the strands of who we are, he put the abundant life. He put that is literally the makeup of my spirit, mind, and soul. And so if you're going to extinguish that, well, now you're trying to kill me. Right. So now we're going to war.
I hear you. And your listeners that maybe that aren't Christians out there, they also, I think people are starting to wake up to this indoctrinating. I'll give one example, and I think any parent would care about this, Christian or non-Christian. So in June of 2021 in Tacoma, Washington, we all know there's a bunch of crazy things happening in the state of Washington right now. In middle school, flyers were handed out from Planned Parenthood telling kids that they could get an abortion without notifying their parents, and that it was legal for them to have sex as early as the age of 11, as long as they had sex with someone that was 13. So if you're non-Christian parents out there, I'm sure they don't want their 11-year-old getting pregnant. I'm sure they would object to that kind of
indoctrination.
Mm-hmm. And they have to realize that it's really going deep into the kids. In fact, the kids that I teach that aren't raised in homeschool or that don't go to a Christian school, they really do think much differently than the other kids. And just think about it. They're told there's no God. They're told there's no purpose in life. They're here by random chance, that their greatest ancestors are monkeys, amoeba, and then bacteria.
Right.
I mean, I'm depressed just saying that. And that's one of the reasons I think depression is so high among youth, because, I mean, the logical conclusion is my life means nothing.
Right.
I'm not here, and I might as well just end it. I mean, just think about it for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no hope.
It means the only hope is to get as much money and wealth as you can, and it's a monopoly game, and that's
well,
the game, and that's how
and,
you win.
And if you're not successful at that, if you're not having success at that, then quit trying. It's a waste.
Right.
It's a waste. No, I agree with you. StopYouthFraud@gmail.com. StopYouthFraud@gmail.com. Final minute. Who do you want sending an email to you?
You know, all kinds of people send me emails. I have parents. Once a month I get an email from a parent. Hey, my kid grew up in the church and now they're losing their faith or lost their faith when they went to college. We send you information. We'll talk to you. We give you instructions on what to do, what not to do. And God is, it's been amazing to see kids turn around. So parents, I had a young girl, she was worried about her brother who walked away from the faith. This is a high school sophomore. Kids contact me, churches. We'll come out and speak to you at no charge. We never charge a fee.
Okay.
We've spoken to groups as small as 5 and as big as 1,000. It doesn't matter to us. We're doing God's work and we're changing one mind at a time, one parent at a time.
And the focus here is for those that are having a faith challenge because of this education, uneducation, diseducation, indoctrination.
You got it.
Edward and his organization are saying, hey, we'll help you. We'll help you get your kid back on track. We'll help you get your child reallocated to understanding how important faith is. We'll do it in a loving way, but we're going to help them to see how they've been deceived and to peel back those layers so they can have the opportunity to actually make that choice. When the Word of God says, I set before you this day life and death, they can have the clarity to be able to choose life. Edward, thank you for that. StopYouthFraud@gmail.com. We're out of time today, folks. Stay tuned. Texas Fully Loaded is coming up here on TECN-TV. I'll be back with more on Monday. Get plugged in to a faith community this weekend, okay? Please do that. And know that God truly does love you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. God bless you and have a great rest of your day.